All right, well, thanks everyone for being here again tonight. Week three already, so why don't we open with prayer? God, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for this opportunity to gather together in your presence with your family. And Lord, we pray tonight that you would open our hearts and our minds, speak to us, help us to experience you, help us to reflect sincerely on our experiences that we've had in the past and everything that fuels our conversation tonight. And may we each leave this place with a greater appreciation for who you are, for how you draw us to you, and for how we function as a diverse body of your people. Amen. So, I wanted to start tonight by telling a story. When I was a kid, I grew up in a small country church. So it was, and when I say small, I mean small. If we hit like 20 on a Sunday, we were doing really well. Okay. I was also the only child at the church at the time when I was growing up. Now, by the time I was a teenager, I was the children's department. Yeah. It was very small. It was out in the country. It was one of those old, really, like, you know, kind of classic-looking country churches with, like, the cemetery beside it. And, you know, we had, like, the wooden pews and everything. And most of the church family was, like, literally family to some extent, you know? It wasn't what I would consider a liturgical church, in that we didn't have, it wasn't a real formal service, it wasn't, you know, there wasn't anything fancy about it, but because it was old, because it had its history, there were certain things that were just always a part of the church. And so you could go and expect certain things every Sunday when you showed up. One of the things that I remember was on the altar at the front of the church, there were always two candles and a Bible in the middle that was always open to somewhere in the Psalms. And I remember as a kid, there came a point when they apparently deemed that I was old enough to handle it. They gave me the responsibility of walking to the front of the church on Sunday morning and lighting the candles. I remember the first time I did it, I was like terrified that I was going to burn the place down. but it was just one of those things that I did, and probably for everyone else there, you know, oh, it was, you know, it's cute. We have the one kid in our congregation light the candles, and you know.
Good job, Mikey.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, it just, that's what happened. And so it was always a part of my tradition, but it never really made sense to me other than, you know, the grown-ups had asked me to light the candles. So, and there were a few times when I was in college and I would, like, go back to visit. Like, the candles wouldn't be lit. And it's like, must be they never found someone else to do this. But just probably about 4 years ago, when I was in seminary, I had a class that was specifically focused on worship. How to plan a worship service, you know, elements that go into worship, things to consider, stuff like that. And one of the days we were talking about just symbols and things that we see in our church, and somehow in the conversation, the two candles came up. And the instructor for the class, who is also a worship pastor at his church, said, well, you know why there are two candles on the altar, right? And thankfully, everyone else in the class was about as clueless as I was. So thankfully, in the sense that I didn't feel so bad. But he explained that the reason there are two candles is because it reminds us of Christ. It reminds us of Christ, and that Christ has both a human nature and a divine nature. And every time we light those candles, we're reminded that Christ is present with us, and that he is, from the time of the incarnation, he is now eternally human and divine. And that was meant to be a reminder for us every time we experience that. Now, obviously, I missed out on a whole lot as I was growing up because those candles had no meaning to me. But once I learned what they meant, it made a difference. And so tonight, we're going to light the candles, but I want to do it understanding what they mean. Because an important part of what we're talking about tonight, as we talk about the traditionalist pathway, as we talk about rituals, as we talk about symbols, it's important to realize that those things have no value if we don't understand them. And so a lot of how we can respond to things in a traditional setting, in a liturgical setting, in a setting that has a lot of things that we see all the time but don't understand, can be influenced by that very lack of understanding. And I think it's also very important for those who are leading in those settings to communicate that meaning to people, because otherwise, how are they going to find out? You know, the flip side of none of my classmates knowing what the two candles meant either was that none of them had been raised in a place where it had been explained to them. And so it's important for us to be able to value tradition, to be able to understand tradition, where it comes from and what it means. That being said, not everyone is going to connect with tradition. And so I'll say the same thing that I say every week. We don't all walk in these pathways with the same intensity. Some of them are going to be more meaningful to you, and others are going to be a lot less. But hopefully what you can take from it is, even if you're in this room and the traditionalist pathway is just like torture for you to endure, and I know there are at least two of you in this room that fall into that category. I hope you can still take from this the value that this is really meaningful to other people in their worship and in their practice. And we grow as a body by recognizing and respecting our differences as well. So, how many of you have had a chance to read the chapter on the traditionalist in the book?
Parts of it.
Parts of it, okay. Whether you've read it or not, when we say that word, tradition, like, what's your immediate, like, knee-jerk reaction to that?
Things that are repeated over and over.
Okay. All right.
I think of sometimes things that are valued because they're tradition in and of themselves and not because of what they stand for.
Sure. Would you say that your experience with tradition in a spiritual setting specifically, would whatever that tradition may be, would you say your experience with tradition has been generally positive or negative?
Positive.
Positive. Okay.
Negative.
Okay. And this is the reality of this pathway. As Steve and I were talking about this a little bit this week, this pathway, maybe more so than any of the others, has the potential to be very polarizing for people. Because some really value and appreciate and are brought alive and will fight for the traditions of the church. And some people are on the exact opposite end of the spectrum, who have only seen tradition honored for the sake of tradition, not for what it means, who have had it imposed on them in a very unloving, ungodly way. And so it can be very divisive. We want to recognize that. And so as we talk about it tonight, I certainly want us to be honest. I also certainly want us to be respectful. Because, again, there may be people in the room who are on the complete opposite end of the spectrum, and we want to value where everyone is coming from with that. So, for those of you who have had positive experiences with tradition, what are some of the reasons that it's been positive? Or even what are some of the traditions that have been meaningful to you?
I think for me, my first real exposure to religion, church, at an age that I could really understand was when I started going to church, the only one in my family going to church in the eighth grade. It was an Assemblies of God church. And it's a different environment than here in any other denomination. I mean, they do things there that they don't do elsewhere. And it was early enough for me, and I was unstudied enough that I didn't understand a whole lot of it, but I got saved in that church, and you know they had revivals in the church quite often, and they had altar calls frequently, almost every Sunday night. You know, they would have altar calls, and I've always thought that was a very important part of my exposure.
Sure.
You know, my experience, it was positive for me.
Good. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, Carolyn.
I think going to church itself is a tradition. You know, there's a lot of different styles of
mm-hmm.
church. But just the act of going to church is a tradition that benefited me my whole life.
Yeah.
And going to Wednesday night, which...
Oh, I am doing that now.
I think of us as not having a Wednesday night thing. Here I am, but that's odd. Anyway, but going to Wednesday night and doing that Sunday school and all that stuff that where, you know, I was, you know, memorizing scripture and stuff like that. That was tradition that definitely benefited me and stuck with me my whole life.
Okay.
Found that it's very enduring. And the traditions, in a way, made a little more tangible the actual teaching
mm-hmm.
of the Bible. It was like a reminder, the open in prayer, three hymns, and then overview of the bulletin and things that were happening in the congregation for the week, and it just everything was so consistent. You knew it was coming, and so you saw when there was change, and because it was so systematic, when you saw changes, it was highlighted because it stood out. And the regularity of it, you knew what to expect and you knew it was coming, but we also got a very good explanation behind it, so it wasn't just we do this? It was, why do you do this? You know, so the explanation was usually there.
Yeah.
So it was not just tradition. It was backed up.
That's very helpful. Very helpful. Yeah.
To me, I was raised Catholic, so, I mean, every Sunday you had communion, if you had your first communion, and I've gone to, you know, Nazarene churches and things like that where they just do it on occasion or at special times, and when you're doing it every Sunday, I think you tend to take that for granted more, especially when you're a kid and just growing up, it's just something you do. Where now, if I have communion, it means more, you know, at certain times instead of every time.
So. True. And it's interesting the difference even in different traditions within the church too, that the emphasis placed on certain things. Again, Steve and I were talking about this, that, you know, in our Protestant traditions, regardless of denomination, it seems like the service tends to build toward the sermon. You know, everything is focused around the sermon, because in our tradition there's a strong emphasis on the word and what that means in our lives. But in other traditions, like the Catholic Church and the Orthodox Church, Anglican Church, and others, everything builds towards communion, because that is a strong, you know, experience of, you know, the sacrifice and the involvement in it. And I honestly can't speak as well to the significance of that, because I don't come from one of those traditions. But you know, just the lenses that we look through for those different things have different meaning for us. I appreciate, you know, some of the things that have been mentioned about traditions, because I think sometimes it can be easy when we talk about tradition in the church to think of more like high church type of setting. So, you know, something that's really liturgical, you know, like a Catholic church or anything like that, regardless of whether that experience is positive or negative, that can be where our mind tends to go first, because the traditions are maybe more obvious to us. But I think it's important to recognize that tradition is a part of all of our lives. For church, you know, for the entire body of Christ, certainly whatever the denomination is, there are traditions. Like Carolyn said, even coming to church is a tradition in and of itself. We also have our own traditions that have nothing to do with spirituality. I mean, if you think about some of the things that you might do with your family, like at holidays, you know, there are probably certain traditions that you keep that are meaningful to you for some reason, whether it's because of the shared experience or a fond memory that it stems from or whatever. And so I think one of the values to recognize in the traditionalist pathway, especially for those who have more difficulty connecting with this pathway, is that tradition is very much a part of our life, of our human existence. And so we can find a way to take tradition and give it spiritual meaning so that it can draw us to God. Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking, it seems to me like there are traditional things that we do that we like, and there are other things that you go, oh, I hate that. I hate, like you were saying, I hate all traditions. Not you were saying that, but in fact, you're just thinking of certain ones
right. That
just
right. Don't
connect with you. Whereas, you know, I mean, look at weddings and marriages and Christmas and Easter and Hunt. You know, I mean, all that stuff. I think that for me, and maybe for a lot of people, it's the idea of having your tradition imposed on me. If I go to this church, that means that this, this, and this, which just really rub me the wrong way for whatever reason, are, you know, that's what they do here, and so I'm not, you know, I don't like that. not again for whatever reason. If we choose the tradition, it's different. And I was thinking about that with the wedding, you know, with the two candles and then you light the one candle. And, you know, if two people go, hey, I really like this, let's do it, it's meaningful for them. And if I decide, I mean, I have a problem with communion, not what it actually is about, but how it's done. Just because it doesn't fit, it doesn't work for me, you know. If I could take my time and do it, then it would be okay. But you know, so I think that if we get to pick our own way of this tradition that I'm going to do that's going to honor God, or this ritual, or this thing that I'm going to do all the time, then I think it has more meaning. Or if somebody explains something and we can connect to it. But to me, the biggest problem is. With tradition or rituals is when somebody else says, this is what we're doing, and it doesn't connect with me. I mean, it doesn't make me angry, but it just doesn't do anything for me and probably makes me uncomfortable. So, I don't know. Maybe, I'm just wondering, do traditionalists just love the idea and of doing the same thing over and over again? I don't know.
Right.
I mean, I'm not saying, I mean, I'm asking sincerely. Yeah. I think that after a while... unless it's something that I picked that was meaningful to me. So look at Christmas traditions. Then you get the next generation go, why do we do this? And then all of a sudden, there's
right.
people in the family because they're not going to go to grandma's house on Christmas Eve for tacos.
Right. How many of you would say that you resonate with the traditionalist pathway? Like, that's a strong one for you. Okay. So for those of you who feel that way, I mean, how do you respond to what Carolyn said? Because honestly, it's kind of middle of the road for me. I'm not really, honestly, one way or another about the traditionalist thing. So for those of you who it's more meaningful to you, I mean, how can you speak to that?
I learned through repetition, repetition, repetition. And going through the traditions is repeating that learning and what it's about. And that's where I connect with traditions.
Okay. So the repetition kind of helps to internalize it for you and okay.
To stop me to make me think on what I'm doing and not just do it out of habit.
Sure. Okay.
For me, I think some of my experience when I've visited other churches where they have wooden pews and hymnals and they're singing the doxology and the organ music and that traditional type of worship reminds me of the majesty of who God is. I appreciate that part. I wouldn't say I didn't score real high on the traditionalist quiz, but that part of it is meaningful.
Yeah,
I have a friend who's Catholic, and she actually, when I felt called back to the church, I started with her going to the Catholic church, and she loves the rituals of it. She loves. She goes, I can go to any church in the United States or any, and I know exactly what's going to happen. I know exactly, you know, and it is so comforting to her. And it's just, for me, it felt meaningless, probably because I wasn't raised in the seas, in their school. You know, I didn't understand the rituals, and, you know, it just went over my head, and it was very frustrating. She would come to this church, and she, you know, and did not like it at all. I mean, it was way outside of her comfort zone. And, I mean, we both love the Lord and love Jesus, and, you know, we can celebrate it together and we can talk about it, but we don't relate in even close to the same
no.
way. And, it's interesting.
I don't know, comment, question. I scored just like average, I guess, tradition, but as like reading, I feel like I'm a traditionalist as far as I love traditions, family I love, like, but I relate more to the symbolism part of it than the ritual part of it. Like, everything, and I think. interesting, as this is the third chapter, how really they're all interrelated.
Yes.
You know, like the senses, a pine tree, which I scored high in naturals, a pine tree reminds me so much of church camp growing up and the closeness mm-hmm. with God. So it's like those senses. And kind of like yesterday, when, or last week, when Terry was saying about the nail in his pocket, I remember reading about that, and I thought, that would be a great symbolism for me. Not that I would feel it, but I would have that symbolism of it. And so I think the candles would be awesome for me, but the rituals. So I guess that was sort of my question. Like, are we using these two words interchangeably, or does ritual mean something different than traditions? Like, I think rituals are, if, like the Catholic has a lot of rituals, that is, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, that's
okay,
a.
Or ask.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And a couple thoughts about that is, you know, first of all, you know, I'm definitely, you know, glad to hear how you're seeing the pathways kind of overlap with one another, because that's very true of the design behind this whole thing, and it can be easy because each pathway is given its own chapter and we're focusing on them individually to start compartmentalizing them, but in reality they don't play out that way. So there is a lot of overlap and they work together very well. And I think that even the order in which he's structured the chapters in the book, I think seem to flow from that kind of natural interweaving of some of those. So that's definitely a valuable observation. I think when he uses that label or title or whatever, calling the pathway the traditionalist pathway, he himself identifies that there are like three elements to that. One is ritual, one is symbol, and one is sacrifice. And so kind of like we talked a little bit last week with the sensei, you know, for some people who might score high for whatever, and I mean the score is somewhat arbitrary, but it gives us a little bit of a gauge. You know, for some who might score high on sensate, they're really moved by music. For others who score high on sensate, they might be really moved by art or, you know, something physical that they can touch. And so there are still a lot of different ways that that pathway manifests itself. And I think that's true of every pathway. So for traditionalists, some are really drawn into God's presence by the ritual. Others, like you said, it might not be the ritual so much, but symbolism is huge in being able to identify symbols and things like that. For me, probably it's the symbolism that I connect to most from the traditionalist pathway. So yeah, there's some overlap there, but there are certainly different things for us to grab a hold of that can help us to connect in different ways. Yeah, time.
About the only thing that I'm really, I guess, with this one is going to the altar. I do feel really, really close to the Lord as I'm at the altar, and I am giving everything to Him and speaking to Him. I don't know why, but I just, it's almost like I feel the Holy Spirit. I feel the closest to Him.
Good.
But all the other ones,
strong.
For me personally.
Right. I wanted to give John an opportunity to share some words. John is he's a part of our spiritual life team, so he's been a part of planning the session of Boost and the journey and everything, and traditionalist is very near the top of your list, if
yes.
I remember right. So, what is it? What does that mean to you? How does that play out for you?
I think there's a quote in here that hits it on the head that I've used many times when I first discussed my love of ritual and things with my wife is, and Gary Thomas uses the same quote, it brings order out of chaos. You see these, I don't know that I'm necessarily controlling, but I like to have things in order, and I like to feel familiar, and you know, things like the liturgy or the divine service, they really connect with it in that way, because just as God said, you know, to this nothingness, you know, he gave it order, he gave it life. I mean, it's like that order does the same thing to me. It just really brings about awesome things inside of me. And it's just something a lot of people, you know, I don't know, maybe some people don't understand the meaning behind that or some of those things, but they really speak very highly to me. I relate to them really well.
So how do you, like, how does it work for you personally? Like, how do you nurture your walk with God through order, through, you know, the more traditional? And I don't know that that's a question I had necessarily prepared you to answer, so I didn't
want
to put you on the spot.
One of the things, and again, Gary Thomas talks about it here in the book as well, is I enjoy hearing the word read out loud, and just this, I don't know, when I read the word out loud, it's like, it's, you know, I do it all the time. When I'm doing Bible study or something, I'll come across a passage and I just feel that I really need to read it out loud. And I do that, and it's powerful. And I begin to connect with different things and think about, man, did Moses read this out loud at one point? Or, you know, was Paul reading this in a home church in Corinth somewhere at one point? I mean, it was just, it's like, wow, it's powerful. And the word is powerful when read out loud. And so I do that personally a lot. And I was baptized Catholic. And at 5 or 6, we moved to the Lutheran church here in Flushing. And that church has grown differently than what it was back then. But I remember finding, I was really worried at first because I had just started learning about all the different feasts of the saints and stuff like that. And so I just enjoyed those feast days and connecting to, you know, the fact that other people had been, you know, using this person to help point them towards Christ for 1,000 years and everything like that. So I still follow that stuff occasionally. We don't have cable anymore, but every once in a while I would watch Mass on the Catholic channel, just to, much to the chagrin of my wife. Like, what are you doing in there? Nothing. I'm not watching anything. I'm not watching Mass. You know, it's like, but it was just something about it, that order, that structure. Really, I mean, it gets, oh, jittery right now just thinking about it. It's really cool.
One of the things you mentioned was, you know, like thinking about as you read scripture out loud, you know, are these like kind of some of the same words that, you know, Moses or Paul would have spoken, and kind of that connection with the past and people in the past. I'm gonna lob the conversation over to Steve. This is a huge connecting point for him on the traditionalist pathway.
The thing about the traditionalist pathway, I think if I were gonna back up 3 steps, I think for me there is a distinction between tradition and custom. And custom is a local tradition, and a tradition is a tradition of the church. I was at a church, a little bitty church in West Virginia one time, that had a table on the platform, and on that table were all these pictures of people. And the pastor at the church was a friend of mine, and he wasn't from West Virginia, and his first Sunday there, he's like, "What's with the table with all the pictures on it?" And those were family members who had passed away, and they had this little table of pictures, and he's like, we got to get rid of that. And they're like, what? We are not getting rid of that. So that's a custom, all right? He kept the table there, and it's all cool. But so traditions to me are deeper and wider than customs. Whether they are celebrated in a church with long tradition like a Roman Catholic church or an Anglican church or an Orthodox church, I'm fascinated by these things because when I am exposed to them, when I worship that way, I am connected with my ancestors in the faith. And for some reason, that sits really heavy on my soul. To think that somebody was doing this much the same way 500, 1,000, 1,500 years ago. Even when we, or especially when we have communion here among us and we serve the Eucharist and we participate in that thing, for me to think that there is an untraceable but an unbroken line between us and the apostles that gathered around a fire with Jesus, just, it does something inside me to think that I am somehow a part of all of that, and the way that my connecting point to that is this moment, whether it's Eucharist, whether it's hearing the word read aloud, whether it is reciting a creed together, just that connection with that history that goes all the way back to Jesus just does it to me every time.
All right. Thanks.
I'm trying to remember if I was supposed to say something.
No. I mean, no. There wasn't anything.
Mike and I talked about
there wasn't
this
anything
yesterday.
Scripted. I just. Yeah. So what? I mean, we've been talking about this maybe from a more positive angle, because again, I want us to see the value in this pathway, regardless of how we connect with it. But I guess I want to, you know, throw a question out there for those of you who don't connect with this. What questions, what thoughts, what even concerns do you have with regards to this pathway? Like all of the others, this pathway has its dangers. You know, and I think in one way or another, we've touched on a lot of those about, you know, tradition for the sake of tradition, to the point where we can kind of glorify the act, the ritual, the symbol, whatever it is. You know, we can honor something without knowing its meaning, having that sort of, you know, meaningless aspect to it. What are some things that are valuable to talk about from the other side of this, or just as those of you who maybe are struggle to connect with this, just as you're hearing some of this, what are your thoughts?
One of the things that has bothered me in some churches that I attended where they did traditional things that I think this is just a personality thing. I think that for me, I value doing something repetitively, tradition, I don't know, but sometimes I feel like if I do something over and over again, it loses meaning. I love reading. Back in the whatever it was, we all stopped reading from singing from hymns and started singing with a PowerPoint presentation on the thing and no music to read. It was really annoying to me. And I loved the hymn. I loved when every once in a while we'd sing an old hymn, but I realized the reason I loved singing the old hymns was not because I was worshiping God better. It was because it reminded me of it was more comfortable for me. You know, I could read the music, I could sing alto, you know, instead of just fumbling through. But it wasn't that I was worshiping God better. It was just, you know, so I don't know. Some of the traditions are just and I might enjoy them for the wrong reason. And for me, if I do something over and over again, it loses its meaning. And I'm just, if I'm going to read that psalm in the morning and that psalm in the evening, every day, eventually, I'm not even going to know what I'm reading anymore. Mm. And I don't know that it's going to speak to me more over time, whereas it might for somebody else.
Right.
And I will say, Steve, by the way, you, no, when you said, because I was listening on Sunday, was it this Sunday or last Sunday, where you said something about reading these words, that you just said that same thing, whether they're heard, I don't know if it was even in a prayer, but 500 years ago or 1,000 years ago, whatever, you said that, was mm-hmm. it this Sunday? I never thought of it that way before, like in my entire life. Isn't that weird? So, but I find a lot of value in that, in the connection to the past. I mean, and I like the differentiation between custom versus tradition. You know, I appreciate the tradition of communion.
Right.
I don't necessarily like how it unfolds. Luckily, we do it like 17 different ways, so there's always going to be like one way that I'll
just wait, it'll come around.
So, you know.
But. Ever heard of manna from heaven?
Yeah. Why haven't you tried that one?
Yeah.
Pray about it.
That's like I've heard people say the Lord's Prayer, but they say it so fast and there's no meaning behind it. They're just
right.
saying it because they know it. And it's like, slow down and mean. Think about what you're saying. And I've heard that many times.
Pat, you were going to say something, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I was brought up very traditional, and it didn't mean anything. I mean, I had everything memorized. God was not a personal God. It was just a God of ritual, you know, and it really didn't mean a whole lot. And yet you went through it day after day sometimes, or at least week after week. So for me to try something different was very meaningful, you know, but like I love the traditional hymns. I love them, you know. There's some things that I still would like to hold on to than, you know, the modern contemporary service that we have. So there's value in those things, and I think the hymns teach you doctrine as you sing them versus the praise songs that we do today. You know, they're not so much. So there's, but still that repetitive, you just did it, you were like a little robot, you had it all memorized. But it's interesting because we have brought our children up in a contemporary church, and our oldest son actually, if he would choose to start going to church, he leans towards wanting a more ritual. Mm-hmm. He finds comfort in that. So sometimes I think it's just a change from what you were, you know, can actually spark your faith.
Yeah.
So, you know, we may see the kids that are being brought up in this contemporary style actually, as adults, being drawn to the more, you know, traditional because it's different.
Right.
And it, you know, then it doesn't seem so routine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I wonder, too, if part of the value in that is people being able to, you know, personally identify and make that choice themselves. You know, it becomes their faith.
Right.
You know, when they get a chance to personally invest as opposed to, you know, oh, I was made to go every Sunday or, you know, whatever. Yeah. So, yeah. Good perspective.
I think for me, I appreciate the custom versus tradition because a lot of times I see those intertwined where, you know, like the church that I went to, I don't want to say growing up in because I didn't start attending until I was 10, but like their church was so systematic that, I mean, at 11, 12, you knew what they were doing, you know, like every Sunday. It was the exact same thing. And the like running joke was if the Holy Spirit showed up to want to change something, he'd be asked to sit down and wait until after service, you know, because we... You know, it was a one-hour service, and you followed the bulletin, and heaven forbid anyone spoke outside of that. And, like, prayer requests would even get cut off if they went over that five-minute mark, you know. And it was just, it was so systematic. And like Pat said, like that robotic, that it was like there was no opportunity to allow God to move. And so then when you presented that tradition of those things that have been done 500,000 years, they were so monotone, so weighed down. It was so, let's speed this up so we can get through it and move on, because we have to get done by noon so we can have fellowship hour, you know. And it was just, it just took the essence of God out of it for me, to where when I got old enough and went off looking for my own church, I mean, I went to, you know, the revival every night, and the churches that were just spontaneous and didn't have a bulletin, and it was like, wow, you know, how do you know what's next? And it was a surprise, and, you know, and yeah, right, you know. And so I think, I mean, I value that idea of tradition being something that is like of a legacy, but for me it is so hard to connect to it, because I don't see it, I don't connect it to the Bible. I connect it to sitting in that church service for an hour being judged because I wasn't like everybody else. So that's kind of the bitter taste that comes to tradition. But, I mean, since being away from that, I see things that are of value, but I hold great hesitancy to be drawn to them because of, I've seen too much that tradition becoming the worship instead of God becoming the focus. And so I just, it puts such a bitter taste in my mouth that it's hard to try to focus. And even tonight, I mean, I'm one of those two people that Mike was mentioning about. But like even tonight, I told him, I said, after my day today, I have to like go into tonight intentional, trying to connect with God, because I just don't want to deal with it. You know, like I don't want to focus on it. So I'm being very intentional trying to connect with it. But I think it's because of that past experience that has kind of molded my view of it, to where even when I read the book and opened to that chapter, I was like, oh no, I have to, you know, like how many pages is this? And yeah, you know, I have to get through this because I have to take the test at the end, you know. And so I think that's that concern. But I it's amazing to me sitting here, like listening to the people who are traditionalists and how emotional and involved, and like for John to say that he gets goosebumps at this, it's just like I can't fathom that, you know.
Or
you know,
but I
think that that's the awesomeness of God, is that he relates to everyone in different ways, to where we're not all conformed to that one-hour church service that's done exactly the same way. But it shows the character of God as being multifaceted. So, yeah.
Okay, thanks.
So, I'm curious, of those who are traditionalists, me not being one, but would you consider yourself to be, like, creative, like, artsy? Like, you got to paint your house every other year or anything like that? Or do you like, I'm curious. Or would you consider yourself not to necessarily be, here's why I'm asking myself this question, I guess. Because I appreciate elements of tradition, but just not to the level that traditionalists do. So I love the creativity of doing something with a traditional mindset, and the next week coming in and doing it radically different. So to do it with repetition, to me, the word I want to give it, not to sound judgmental, is hollow. But I don't want to, because I know other people would appreciate doing it the same way. Wendy, you've really helped me see a different side of what it means to learn that way, and I appreciated your words so much. I went to Lamentations tonight, sitting here listening to this, because my mind was just running over this verse, because I resonate with, His mercies never cease. Great is His faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. So that leaves me like, I don't have to worry about what you did yesterday, because I'm waiting to see what He's going to do today. But that's not to say that I don't love it. And later in the same chapter, He says it's good for those of you to depend on Him, who search for Him. It's good to wait quietly. It's good for you to submit at an early age the yoke of His discipline. that points back to, you know, suck up and eat it. You know what I mean? Like, that's, you've got to get back there and do these things too. So I love the vastness, the creativity of that. And I guess there's just a part of me that just kind of sits back and says, I don't want to do it the same way every day. And I'm good with not having a bulletin to tell me what is coming. Like, I want to just, like, let's take it as it comes. But I'm not anti. I just don't connect with it as deeply. And I think that I love the diversity of doing it all. Mm-hmm. I don't want to get into the rhythm of doing it one way. I think is my pushback, with all due respect and love.
Julie.
Am I the other person?
No.
Okay.
Well, not to my knowledge. I said at least two, no, so I mean.
This is my bottom one. And so I resonate a lot with what Dory's talking about, because to me, the reason to not do something is because we've always done it that way. But so much of tradition for me, the meanings were squeezed out of it. Like, it just was left tasteless. Because it was done over and over without understanding what does it mean, without personalizing it. It was just the doing. But really, our relationship with the Lord is, there is an undercurrent of tradition through all of it. There has to be.
Absolutely.
And so that part of it, I'm good with. But because we've always done it that way, no. So, but the symbolism that is deep within Christianity does resonate with me.
Okay. And that's okay. That's okay.
The candles are a great example of that. Mm-hmm. That's enlightening to me tonight that I really appreciate. And we just may have two candles on Sunday mornings for it. I mean, you know what I mean? I'd be good with that.
But we have to say why.
But we would have to explain why. Yeah. Absolutely. So, didn't mean to interject.
No, that's, no. That's,
I connect with what Julie just said there, that there's a lot of that that's great.
Okay. I have to tell a story from the Journey Day. If you weren't at the Journey Day, John and I lifted a portion of liturgy from the Anglican Church. And John and I, we led the folks in this liturgy, and we said a prayer of confession together. We said the Nicene Creed together, and we did this call and response thing, and it, to hear everybody's voices praying that prayer of confession together, and to say the words of absolution for all of us, that because we believe, because Jesus has bled and died and was raised again, and because we believe it, our sins are forgiven. And just all those things. Johnny and I got done, man. We're hugging and high-fiving each other. Like, that was the most awesome thing ever today. And 20 minutes later, we're standing in the line for dinner. And somebody came to us, somebody who may be a leader, perhaps even a pastor of our church, said, yeah, that thing you and John did, I didn't get it. Didn't burst my bubble. It
no.
Just, no, because John and I will go to the Anglican church. And,
you know, I know we're crunching on your time, but I for me, and maybe this speaks to my... If you haven't read ahead, I enjoyed the... I tested high in aesthetic as well. I enjoy the whole idea of structure and that discipline and sacrifice is, as I read through more, I understood that that's part of what appeals to me in the traditionalist pathway. And there's, you know... I don't know. It's not that I don't want to, you know, just that I'm not creative or anything like that. It's just that I enjoy creation on my own terms, if that makes sense. You know, so.
Well, I know we're getting short on time, but I don't want to rob us of the opportunity to do something experiential in this pathway. So, trying to think through what this would be like and not wanting to, you know, pull out another Anglican liturgy for tonight. You know, again, Steve and I talk about this stuff a lot, so maybe that's my tradition. Each week I go in and talk to Steve about, okay, what do we need to work out this week? But, you know, I wanted something, again, that was going to be meaningful for us, something that isn't necessarily a long-standing tradition in the sense of, you know, I don't know, as I reflect on our conversation tonight, I wonder in part if maybe this is more custom than tradition. However, I am aware of it, you know, being more long-standing and more widespread than just something that we do as a church here or, you know, even across denominational borders. So I'm going to ask, Tanya, if you could flip that light off, the switch that's right above your head. And then if someone could get the light in the back too, so that we can just kind of see the, just kind of focus on the candlelight here. When you came in, hopefully, wow, it's really dark in here, isn't it? That's the point. Was everyone able to get a candle as you came in? I should have asked that question before the lights got turned off, probably. But hopefully you did. If you didn't, Terry's got the, anyone need one real quick? So this is something that is a part of our tradition here at this church. It's a tradition that I grew up with in my church of 10 to 20. And it's something that typically we do as a holiday tradition, something that is a part of our Christmas celebration. And that is the candlelight service. And there are a lot of things that go into the service, but there's something I think especially meaningful about coming to this place of darkness and just seeing the light that's represented here tonight by the dual nature of Christ, both human and divine. And we recognize in this the ritual of sharing that light. We recognize in this the symbol of what that light means to us, that Jesus came as the true, uncreated light into a dark world that was desperately in need of him, desperately in need of light. And he shared that light with those who followed him, to the point that Jesus tells his own disciples that they too are the light of the world, and that as their light shines, it's not to be hidden. And so we do something as simple as taking a candle, and we light it from the symbol of Christ, to see it as a symbol of his light coming into our life. And then we take that light and we share it with those around us. And we see the light grow. And we see it dispel the darkness. That just as those first disciples of Jesus received the light from him, and they shared that light in the gospel and the truth with those who followed them, and they shared it with others, and they shared it with others, through tradition, the light has reached us today. through the history and the work of the church, and certainly the work of the church is always, the true work of the true church is always empowered by the presence of the Holy Spirit. Even in all of the things that have happened throughout the history of the church, and going through some periods in church history that can sometimes make us sit back and wonder, how did the church survive after that? It has continued. And so tradition has brought the gospel and brought the light to us today, and how quickly that light can light up a dark room and a dark world. The writer of Hebrews records in a pretty familiar chapter for most of us a long list of faithful people and their acts even before Jesus appeared on earth. And yet as he comes to the end of that list and talking about the faith that these people displayed, he also acknowledges that it was God's will that they were not made perfect apart from us. That all of us together find our salvation in Jesus. And so then, coming out of that, he goes on to say this: recognizing all of those who have gone before and all of those who have played a part in that heritage of faith, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. And so I ask you to just take a moment and reflect on the tradition of the church that has taken the message and the reality of salvation from Jesus' very first disciples into your own life. And we recognize as we do this, connecting with the saints of the past, we are part, a crucial part of that chain that keeps the message moving on to the saints of the future. Steve, how would you like to close us out today?
I would like to sing, because that is a traditional thing to do. But I want to sing this song that we've introduced in recent months, and it's based on the Apostles' Creed, which is old and traditional. But I believe in God our Father and Christ the Son. Would you sing this with me? I believe in God our Father, I believe in Christ the Son, I believe in the Holy Spirit, our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again, for I believe in the name of Jesus.
God, we thank you tonight that as we hold these lights, that you have given your light to us, and that we can be a part of that unbroken chain. the significance of this is probably different for every one of us in this room. But Lord, I pray and I trust that you have spoken something to each one who is here tonight. Whether they connect deeply with you through tradition or not, I pray that we can value the heritage that we have as your people and the investment that you have made from eternity throughout the centuries to draw us into your presence and to keep your kingdom moving forward. May we not take that lightly. God, we love you. We thank you for the sacrifice that you have made for us. And we thank you for calling us to be among that great cloud of witnesses. May you guide and direct our steps as we go from this place and lead us out into the dark world with your light. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, you can extinguish your lights if you would like to, and if someone wants to flip the your lights back on. All right, thank you very much. Next week, we're going to jump ahead one. So if you're following along in the book, we're going to skip ascetics. We'll come back to that later. It's okay. There's a reason. We'll come back. Next week, we are actually going to cover chapters 7 and 8, activists and caregivers. So if you have a chance to read through those before next Wednesday, that would be very helpful.
Bring your own picket signs.
If you so desire. So we will see you then. Thanks.
I end up forcing this up.
It's not all about picket signs. I'm